In Luke chapter 13, we've read these great words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if this text were taking place today, someone might come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask, have you heard about the COP26 climate conference starting today? But that many people will die unless urgent action is taken. And the Lord Jesus Christ would look into our eyes like nobody else has ever looked into our eyes. And he would say, do you think this is happening because there are people in some parts of the world who are worse than others, worse sinners than others? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To have an encounter with someone like that, someone who would look you in the eye and say, the most urgent issue of all is the issue of your soul. If you don't get right with God, you are going to perish. No one ever spoke like this man Jesus. He was blood earnest. When presented with a problem, Jesus spoke to people personally, and his speech was salted with fire. Nobody slept through a conversation with Jesus. Now, the climate change conference is important. But what we are thinking about this morning is more important, more urgent, more vital. These words of Jesus himself, as he speaks in answer to various questions, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So the opening 9 verses in Luke chapter 13 are full of great implications about the way the world really is. And it's not the way many people think it is. So my aim this morning is to impress upon our consciences that without the Lord Jesus, people perish. Without trust in Jesus Christ this morning, you will perish. And if we're going to be the kind of witnesses for the Lord Jesus that we ought to be, we need to know and understand and feel what is really at stake. And what's at stake, says Jesus, is what is at stake is that unrepentant people are perishing. And so to unfold these verses this morning, I want to focus in on 4 key words. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the 4 key words I want to focus on are all likewise perish, repent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, says Jesus. A group of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ and told him about how Pilate had murdered some worshipping Galileans and taken their blood and mixed it with the blood of their sacrifices. Their sacrifices, sheep, pigeons, doves. It's as though some anarchists were to burst into the church this evening during the Lord's Supper and cut the throats of some of the people here and pour their blood into the communion cups. It was a horrific thing that Pilate did. The people don't say it, but the Lord Jesus hears it in their voices. These murdered Galileans must have been really bad people for God to allow something so horrible to happen to them. In other words, extraordinary tragedy must mean extraordinary guilt. Now think for a moment how you would have answered that this morning. What you think about suffering and sin. What you'd have said in the face of a tragedy like this. And think about what the Lord Jesus said. He said, no, their sin was not unusually terrible. Their sin, like our sin, was ordinarily terrible. Because if you don't repent, you will also face an appalling end. So you're saying they were no more sinful. Don't be amazed at their death. But we should all be ready to meet with God, or we shall face an appalling end. Jesus is saying there are calamities and disasters. But actually, there are no innocent human beings. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 10. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We think of these things happening to innocent people. But actually, says Jesus, we're living in a world that's been affected by sin and the curse. What should amaze us is not that some are taken in calamity, but that we are spared. The real amazing thing is not that guilty sinners perish, but that God is slow to anger and gives us all this morning the opportunity to repent, to turn to him. So that applies to all, says the Lord Jesus. All ages, all nationalities, all backgrounds, all sorts of people. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then this word likewise, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now that doesn't mean that all unrepentant people will be murdered. It can't mean that, because in verse 5 Jesus says of those who were killed by a falling tower, in verse 5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He uses the same phrase again. So likewise doesn't mean that. It must mean something else. And it can't mean just physically die, because, again, that happens to those who repent as well. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly returns, then we all face the ultimate statistic of death. But what the Lord Jesus Christ says, it implies, if we do not repent, we will perish. So what does Jesus mean when he says that all unrepentant people will likewise perish? I think what he's saying is something like this. Now we can see what a terrible end these people came to. The murdered Galileans, the ones upon whom the tower at Siloam fell. They didn't think it was going to happen. They knew perhaps they would die one day, but they didn't expect this tragedy. The horror of that end took them by surprise. But unless you repent, Jesus is saying, your end will be far worse than you think. If you're not ready to meet God, in that sense, you will likewise perish. See, so the parallel between us and them is that there was something dreadful about the way these people, their lives ended. The ones who were murdered. The ones upon whom a tower fell. But there is something more dreadful about accountability before God when your life ends and you are not right with God. They were not expecting the end that fell upon them. But are you expecting the day of judgment? Are you ready to meet God? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, says Jesus. All likewise perish. Now, what does the word perish mean? It doesn't mean just physical death, because unless the Lord comes, all of us will die physically. So that idea doesn't fit here, because the Lord Jesus implies if you repent, you will not perish. So perish here is something more than physical death. And the Lord Jesus Christ seems to directly connect it to unrepentance, refusing to repent, rebellion against God. What he's talking about is final judgment. He's referring to something beyond death. Those Galileans were taken unawares and experienced a dreadful end. Unless you repent, you will be taken unawares and experience a dreadful end. The judgment of God beyond the grave. So the word perish is often used that way in the New Testament. Let me give you some examples. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So perishing is the alternative to having everlasting life. We have the same thing in John 10:28. Where Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Perishing is what happens to you if you don't have eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Perishing is the opposite of being saved through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or 1 Corinthians 15 verse 18, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, perishing is referring to something beyond the grave. It's referring to the appointment that we all have. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So perishing is the judgment that people fall into when they die if they have not repented. That's how serious sin is, says Jesus. And we've all sinned. So the Lord Jesus is saying, don't just think about this morning as church talk. Just something that applies to people on a Sunday. People in this congregation this morning, people listening online, but actually everyone, all people in London, in the UK, in the world. What the Lord Jesus is saying here applies to everyone, will perish if they do not repent. So when you're next in the supermarket, that security guard will perish if he does not repent. Your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, your family will perish if they do not repent. So this isn't just church talk. This is as practical and as urgent as the COVID vaccinations that everybody is being urged to have. It's 1,000 times actually more urgent, more important. In fact, we can learn from the government how the world expects people to respond when they are in danger of perishing. The government is urging everybody, get jabbed. What might you lose if you get COVID? You might lose your earthly life. But Jesus says, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Sin is an infinitely more dangerous and serious and urgent thing than COVID. And if the government is willing to spend millions and millions of pounds to wake this country up to the danger of COVID, how much more should the church, who know a cure for sin, do whatever it takes to wake this city up to this eternal danger? So Jesus says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the fourth word we need to think about this morning is this word repent. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying we need to learn from the tragedies of the murdered Galileans and the 18 people who were killed by a collapsing tower. The Lord Jesus speaks about the necessity of repentance. Now, we need to hear that message for ourselves. When we hear God's word preached, or when you read it yourself, is one of the first things in our hearts and minds, how do I need to repent? How do I need to repent because of what I've just heard? How do I need to repent because of what I've just read? It may be that repentance is the missing ingredient these days. That the dominant response to the preaching of the word of God in our generation misses this urgent note of Jesus, repent. Or we might think that others need to hear it, but we don't need to hear it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is actually saying directly to every one of us, unless we repent, we will all perish. You see, there are areas where we are embarrassed about our sins. Areas where we are ashamed about our sins. Areas of more serious sins. And the natural response is to deal with those areas by denial rather than by repentance. To pretend those things are not true of us because we're embarrassed by them. We're ashamed of them. So we don't want to face up to the ugliness of that sin. So just deny it. Put your head in the sand like an ostrich. Deny it rather than face it. But Jesus is saying, own it. Repentance begins by owning your sin. In fact, Jesus is saying that repentance here is a gauge of the reality of true faith. If you're not coming up against things in yourself that you see are not right towards God, if you don't own your sins, then you are not opening your eyes. God hasn't opened your eyes to who you really are. Christians are repenting people. The Christian life begins and it carries on as a life of repentance. So here we are called to repent, not just by the preacher, but by Jesus himself. If we're not repenting, something is wrong. If you're not repenting today before God, if you think there's nothing in your heart, nothing in your life that needs to be repented of, Jesus is saying you don't know your heart. Repentance means owning your sin. It means grieving over sin. Not grieving over getting caught, not grieving over the consequences, but grieving over sin before God. So repentance here isn't a word game. Repentance carries with it this idea of a change of heart. It's been put like this, the question, what is repentance unto life? It's talking about spiritual life. What is repentance unto life? Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it to God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. That's a great summary of what the Bible teaches about repentance. So you honestly own your sin before God. And then you see how ready and willing and open a gracious God is to forgive you at your absolute worst. At our worst, we come to God. How amazing the grace of God is. How great, how wonderful the mercy of God is. At our worst, we come to God. We turn from sin. We confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Jesus says, own your sins then. Come to God. That's why Jesus was standing before this crowd and calling them to repentance. Because God is so ready to forgive. So ready to